Amen. I'm thankful that everyone that came made it here safely. Don't have word of who were on their way and may have turned around. But I am thankful that everyone made it here safely. And I'm thankful that for the testimony. Amen. It is a great testimony, because one of the things as a pastor, you know, you try to watch out for the safety of your people, you know, and that's, I will always say, that's my first and utmost, you know, responsibility is your safety. And I understand that hill is, it's not the best. What I can tell you is that this side is better coming up than that side over there. And the only reason why I'm saying is because I used to live on that side, and I used to come up the hill over that way. So it's harder to come up the hill from this side than it is from this side. To go halfway up, it's a blessing. The one thing I can think about is the rough side of the mountain. Y'all have to pray for your pastor. I'm old school, man. that's what came to mind, was coming up the rough side of the mountain. Amen. And it's a blessing to have that spouse that balances us. Amen. We all need that balance in our relationship. And so it's a blessing that even though you were willing to stop, and you did stop, man, you know, Brother Thomas saying, hey, we made it this far, we may as well just keep on. You know, you're halfway up the hill and you want to give it up. You're this close to the church, but, you know, and that's what we are. That's what the sermon was encouraged, you know. The brother was like, hey, then I'll take it from here, you know. And so that's a message right there. So thankful you all made it, and everyone made it here safely. You know, you give yourself plenty of time to get to where you need to go, and you'll make it. I agree with you. I felt like people were riding a little too close, you know, and I felt like they didn't give each other distance. That's why that Ford truck got in between us, because I give myself distance when I'm traveling. But this guy wants to ride on you in conditions like this. But needless to say, we are here. Amen. Turn to 1 Kings. First Kings, 18th chapter, 21st verse. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Thank God for our computer person in the back. Sometimes when I send her stuff at the last minute, she said, no, if I don't send it to her the day before, it ain't going up. Y'all pray for her. That I'm trying to work with her, but she tell me if it don't get to her the day before, she ain't going to put it up. She shouldn't talk to the pastor like that. The folks just don't know how to talk to the pastor. You don't talk. Yeah. She missed a blessing talking like that to the pastor. Don't tell me about it. Don't get, what if God give me another revelation? She won't tell me to tell God, we going to go with this? Put it up there on the board. Do as you're told. That's all. What's hard for people to do that? Y'all pray for her. She's in prayer. Pray for her. Amen. We begin reading 1 Kings chapter 18, 21st verse. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long have ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him, not a word. Amen. For the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. What I want you all to understand is that the stories of the Bible are built around really three basic ingredients. You're going to have your setting, you're going to have your character, and you're going to have your plot. Okay? Those are the three things that you're going to deal with whenever you read the Bible. I like how the teachers at my son's school, they're how they teaching them. You know, they teaching them when they read, you know, identify the author and all of that. And they're just saying, don't just read this book just to be reading. You have to identify certain things to be able to understand what it is you're reading. And so we have to understand there's three things that you deal with: the setting, the characters, and the plot. So in the Bible, we need to also understand that revelation often comes on mountaintops. Moses meeting with God on Mount Sinai. Elijah encountering gods of Baal on Mount Carmel, and God on the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. In chapter 18, this is a story of Elijah confrontation with Baal, okay, and the priests on Mount Carmel. But it's also the story of the end of the 3.5 years of drought in the land of Israel. So the plot of the story is Elijah's confrontation on the mount, on Mount Carmel, was designed to show two things: that the drought was not merely a coincidence of nature, but it was a divine discipline plan of God, the only true God. Okay. Then the other thing is that the rain and the end of the drought were the work of God. Okay. So it wasn't a coincidence, but all of that was designed by God. So it was not the work of Baal, which is the I guess that was like the god of thunder and rain or whatever he was. But it was a god that they also worshiped. So this chapter and the Mount Carmel incident was designed to teach us that our false gods or whatever sort of materialistic or idolistic or human or total inadequate, okay, our false gods include whatever we place our trust in before God. Whatever we put before God, that is your God. Because he said, you should have no other God before me. Some people say, well, I don't have any other God before me. But I could also say to you this way, do inventory here. Do you spend much time with God? If you don't spend much time with God, whatever you spend the most time with or with, whatever, that's who is your God. You have to understand the people in the Bible, that they spent a lot of time with God. So we can substitute things in place of God. It could be, as I said, materialistic, idolistic, or human, whatever. But we need to be careful of that. One of the things that I like that I read in the Bible, it says, choose you this day who you will serve. You know, so we have to make a decision on whom we will serve. And in Joshua, it talks about, you know, whether it be the gods of your fathers or on the other side of the flood or what have you. Basically, what we have to come to an understanding is that, you know, we need to make a decision. Life is full of choices. Every time we get ready to sit down and watch TV, we have a choice. We could either watch regular TV, we can watch Netflix, we can watch Fire Stick, or whatever type of Amazon, or whatever we got out there. We have a choice. If you have cable, you paying for 500 channels, they make it sound good, but I'm going to let you know right now, 250, that's all you got, is 250. The other 250 repeats itself. It's just mixed in there, and you thinking you got a lot of channels. But what I'm saying is we have to make a choice. What are we going to watch? What are we going to look at? Life is filled with choices, but we must choose. We also have a choice when to go to bed. Me, I'm more of an early type of go to bed person because I rise early. You know, my wife, I cannot hang with her. She's a late owl. She can do that. Me, I need to get in the bed because I rise at 5. That's what time my body clock gets up. So we have a choice. We also choose what we like to eat, you know, what we wear, you know. We have to make that decision. And many of us that are here today, if you're going to work tomorrow, you're probably going to wear what you got on today, tomorrow for work. Well, see, there's one. There's one honest person. We'll make it go through that smell test, and, you know, if it still smells good, we're going to, yeah, it's good. And we're going to wear it tomorrow. Y'all know y'all do that. Stop playing. Y'all know what you wear today. If nobody sees you, if nobody's going to see you, you're going to put it on tomorrow and go to work in it, knowing that you had it on yesterday. That's what we do. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that some choices are easy to make, some are difficult. You are who you are today because of the choices that you made yesterday. The choices we make today have an impact on the decisions that we will be making tomorrow. They establish a pattern of foundation for our life. But some people say, well, I didn't make some good choices in my life. Well, I'm telling you today that who we are tomorrow is determined by the choices we make today. So every choice we make today impacts our life. I'm thankful that I made the choice to follow Jesus. I'm thankful that I made that choice. My parents, my family didn't make that choice for me. I had to come to that decision, and I had to make that. And, I mean, think about the number of choices we are filled with in this world. We are filled with a number of choices. For example, I know back in probably my grandfather's day, you know, there was only a certain amount of cars you can choose from. Okay, but now look at it. You can pick just about, I mean, you have a whole buffet of cars you can choose. I mean, some of the cars look just like, you know, you may think it's, I had a Mazda Millennium. People thought it was a Lexus. I said, this is not a Lexus. It's a Mazda. My point is, some cars look like other cars, but they're not really them. But you think that you're getting that, but you're not. We have abundance of choices that we can make. There's so many brands, fast foods, and all of that. We all have choices. But why am I telling you all this? Why am I saying all of this? A lot of choices is not good for us. Because what's happening is we can become serving the God of options. Open options. Open options is not good. That's what the world is dealing with right now. They do not like our style of worship and religion because the Bible says Jesus is the only way. Okay? The world is like, whoa, I live in a world that we have a bunch of options. You can't tell me that he's the only way. There's got to be some other option. You see what I'm saying? We are programmed. This is how the devil works. The devil has programmed us with the mindset of many options. He's given us that. What I'm saying is, you know, let's just say, if you don't like Lowe's, you can go to Home Depot. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like Home Depot, man, you can go to Menards. I mean, there's many places you can choose from. If you don't like secondhand stores and you say, I ain't shopping at no secondhand store, then you can go to some other store. What I'm saying is that the options. We can get in the habit of serving the God of options. And that's what really the children of Israel was doing. That's why Elijah said, you know, basically choose, you know, this day. You know, basically saying, You know, if God be God, then follow God, serve him. If Baal be God, then you serve him. Y'all read this? What he is saying here to the people, Elijah's calling God's people to choose once and for all between the living God who delivered them, who's done all of this for them, and this false God who has captured their affection. He's saying, how long will you waver between two options? You know, you've seen what God has done for you, but yet you're going to choose this God over the living God? He brought you out of Egypt. He helped you cross, brought you across the Red Sea. And you mean to tell me that you're going to give up him for this false God? Elijah was struggling with that. So he was telling the people this was really a showdown between the living God and the false God. So he's saying, if God be God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They seem unable or unwilling to make a choice. They want to basically almost like put their bets down on which one would win. We need to understand something. I tell people this all the time. If you ask someone a question and that person don't give you an answer to your satisfaction, when I say don't give you an answer, I'm going to be honest with you. They just gave you an answer. Listen to what I'm telling you. If you ask someone a question and they do not respond back to you, they did answer you. Not answering them is still giving them an answer. You can be tough, bad, all you want to, and say, I ain't going to answer that question. Well, you really did by not saying anything. Here it is, the people not answering Elijah, they made their choice. Because when you don't respond, you have now defaulted to the devil. He's saying, if God be God, then serve God. Don't be torn between two opinions. Here's the thing. Let me ask you all this. When you are given an option, let's just say Minister Corbin, when she got married, she sent out invitations. She needed a yes or no from us. Because she's going to accommodate based on the number of people that RSVP'd, right? So she is planning for you to be there if you say yes. If you don't respond to her, then she's already made up her mind that you ain't coming. You see what I'm saying? Even if you respond to her and say no, that's still giving your answer. But if you don't respond, you still said no. Y'all follow me? Or let me say this. Did any of y'all send her an RSVP back saying maybe? She can't work off of a maybe. I'm going to be honest with you. God ain't working off of no maybe either. You either yes or no. I mean, I would have sent it back to her and said maybe. And see what kind of reaction. I know I get a response from her. But I would have loved to know what type of response she would have said. That pastor, look at this. He gonna say maybe. Wait till I see him. I didn't say maybe. I yes or no. Are you coming? And who is coming with you? Maybe. That's not a good answer. See, here's the other thing is, you know, when we are in conversations with people and, you know, I'm going to say this, you know, will you focus on the person you're talking to, or will you look over the person's shoulder to indulge in a better conversation that you could probably get in? Because sometimes people come to you with some foolishness and you don't feel like listening to it. So you look over your shoulder to see if there's somebody else that you can get away from this person to get over there. You'll be like, yeah, I hear you. Good to see you. Hey, how you going? I mean, yeah. what I'm trying to get you all to understand is that we have to be careful in what we do and how we do it. Not choosing is a choice. Over the years, the Israelites had seen themselves delivered from slavery repeatedly, spectacularly, miraculously, by the living God. The Egyptian gods were powerless against God Almighty. Yet, here we are in 1 Kings chapter 18. They're facing a situation to find out who are they going to serve. It should be obvious. I mean, it should be obvious that I'm sticking with God. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, let me just put it to you this way. Our children have been with us since they came into the world. We've done a lot for them. Okay, now, it should be obvious who their parents should be. Who's taking care of them? Who changed their stinky diapers? Who did all of this for them? You know, tucked them in bed, took care of them when they were sick, you know, was there for them, picked them up, fed them, clothed them, did all of this for them. It should be obvious who should be their parents. We shouldn't be standing here with them making a decision that they want to be over in the neighbor's house living with them, when we've done more for them than the neighbor has. But this is what the children of Israel were dealing with, y'all. I'm trying to get you to picture this. They were trying to make a decision to be with somebody who's done nothing for them versus somebody who's been there from day one. You see what I'm saying? I've been there since day one. I saw both of them come into the world. I was there. No one else, the neighbors, they wasn't there when our children came into the world. But I can understand how God feels when you decide that you don't want him, but you want somebody else. It hurts. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That hurts for your children or your child to say that they don't want you. This is what God is dealing with. So God, yet again, had to prove himself to people that he's already proven himself to. He shouldn't have to do, if God doesn't do anything else for me, he's already done enough. Now, here's the thing. We can sing that, but Lord, we don't want you to really do that. You understand what I'm saying? Well, it sounds good, but Lord, I was just singing. But don't take me up on that. But they're facing. But we are in that same situation today. How different are we? We have been delivered from slavery. Christ's death, his resurrection was spectacular and miraculous. He died for our sins. Yet here we are, many of us worshiping the very gods that Christ had triumphed over. People. This church should be filled with people worshiping God. Understand what I'm saying here. But they rather serve false God, false hope. I had two co-workers, they followed false hopes. Something that was said to them, and they took it, and they ran with it. And now they both have recognized that they followed false hopes. But see, here's the thing that's frightening about all of the God of options is that you may not even know that you are worshiping him because he pretends not to be a God at all. That's the trick. He pretends not to be a God at all. In fact, he promised you freedom from all gods, all responsibility. Keep your options open, he says. Worship me, and you don't have to serve anything or anyone, not commit to anything. The Israelites thought that by saying nothing, they were not committing to idolatry. But when they chose not to decide, they made a choice. By refusing to act, they were actually turning away from the living God who rescued them and basically committing a spiritual adultery by worshiping the God of options. That's what it is. It's spiritual adultery when you worship other gods. And see, that's the thing about it. Man, people don't want to hear about sin. People don't want to hear about, you know, their lack of. And nobody wants to hear that. So the living God, the loving triune God, did not create us to keep our options open. He didn't do that. He didn't create us to live in fear of making a choice. When waiting isn't, sometimes we need to understand waiting is not isn't wise. Sometimes we have to say, hey, you're at this crossroad. You have to make a decision. I came to a point in my life, and the best thing that I can say that ever happened to me in my life was when I was hired down at St. Mary's Hospital as a young man, probably 19 years old. Working down there made a reality in my life. It made me understand that there is life and death. Sometimes when you're young, you feel like, man, you got a whole lot of life ahead of you. But, man, working down there was a reality for me because I was seeing life and death happen right before my eyes. Here it is, working in X-ray, going over there to the emergency room, and we're X-raying people that are up talking to you, laughing and playing and talking and communicating, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, we X-ray them. We go over there and we develop the film. We come back over to the doctor's office, to ER. And next thing you know, that person has coded and is gone. Just that quick. And I was like, we were just talking. And you hear Code Blue and this, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but when you hear Code Blue in the hospital, it's like it could be anybody, but your mind is not going on this person that you just talked to. You just was laughing with. But then you go over there and you seeing the nurses and you seeing them working on it and you seeing the doctor, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I was just talking to this guy. He was gone just like that. My point is, God had me looking at life and death. As a 19-year-old, I had to make a decision. And I remember saying to myself, I was sitting in my little Ford Escort. I said, do you love the Lord? Do you not love him? And I was basically saying what this scripture is saying. If God be God, then worship him. And if he's not, then don't. Don't be sitting straddling the fence. Don't be playing. Don't be torn between two opinions. You need to understand, is he God or is he not? And I had to make that decision. And that's when I said, you know what? I'm just going to see what it's like. I was all in. I put my whole self in. I put myself in because I was seeing it. And then when because I didn't know, I'm just like God showed me this. And this is what I said. That could be me. You don't have to. Reality set in for me. You don't have to be old to die. That was a young man that was on that stretcher. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I was seeing people that I walked the halls with. Y'all understand me? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, people who we were laughing, talking about skipping homeroom and all of that funny stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing them coming in. I'm like, man, what's going on? You know? And then all of a sudden, my friends were dying right in front of me. Reality. Dying. Some of them was coming in because St. Mary's was also the morgue of St. Clair County. They were coming in. They couldn't even ID them. State troopers loved when I was at work because I would go in and be like, hey, we got a body for y'all. I was like, you got a body? I would go back there, and they have them as John Doe. Well, me being from East St. Louis, you ain't no John Doe to me. I know who you are. I even know your nickname. So I go back there, and I'm like, and I mumble, and they said, lady, I remember that lady to this day, state trooper, crime scene investigator. She said, what'd you say? I looked at her, I was like, oh. She was like, you ain't in trouble. She said, you're fine. I said, well, I know who that is. She said, well, we don't have a name. Do you have a name? And I gave them a name, and she was like, oh. So they loved when I was there because they came in with another body. I was like, how many bodies they got out there? So they'd be like, hey, we got a body back here. We need y'all to x-ray. And as soon as I go back there, they looking at me. And they was like, you know this person? I was like, yeah. And they was like, do you have a name? I was naming my friends that was coming in the morgue. People who I walked the halls with. People I play, you know, you red light, green light. Reality. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. I'm going to tell you, that was a wake-up call for me. That was an experience that I didn't know I was going to get. But it was an experience yet. And I had to make a decision in my life. No matter, I don't care how people felt. Didn't care who was around me. I said, I got to serve God because I need to know when I check out, where am I going? I said, man, what is going to happen to me when I die? I'm looking at football stars. Y'all follow me? You heard about the school down there that's known in football. I'm seeing people coming in that were football stars, and I'm seeing them like, what happened? We didn't choose. So here it is. We need to learn to trust God. And know that when you, see, that's one of the problems with people is that they don't know how to trust and they don't know when to trust. And the problem with people is that, you know, we have a problem with waiting on God. Let me tell you something, and I'm just going to be real with y'all. If you're waiting on God, it's going to hurt. I'm going to tell you right now. If you're waiting on God to do something in your life, it's going to hurt. And the reason why I'm saying it's going to hurt, because God is not affected by time. You are. He's not. You in time, waiting for something on time, in time. But God is outside of time. It's not going to affect him. So therefore, God can do it when he want to do it. But you waiting on something in time and on time. So we have to deal with this situation that we have to wait on something from God. But waiting on something from God is going to hurt, but it's also going to be worth the wait. Amen? It's going to be worth the wait. So we have to understand that we have to wait on the Lord. So here's the thing. We have these people that are torn between two opinions. Should I serve this God of option or should I serve the true and living God? And so maybe some people are keeping their option open, you know, with God because they're, you know, don't really want to commit. And that's the biggest problem that I see in people's lives is that they don't really want to commit. So Elijah was telling them, make a choice. You have all the information you need about God. You don't need any more information. You have everything you need. That's one of the things that I said to my boss. I said, you have all the information you need. You don't need to involve anybody else in something that we're doing over here. You have all the information you need right in front of you. You need to make a decision. You shouldn't be involved. See, that's the problem with us. When we are told to make a decision, we want to involve everybody. Now you're going to be more confused than where you were when you started off. You know God to be God. You know what God has done for you. You've seen God's resume. You know how he's done it for you. Nobody else did it for you. God is working even when you don't see him working. But yet we have to make a decision to serve the God of options. One thing we need to understand. It's kind of like, y'all ever see... Y'all ever seen this happen before where people have a hard time making a decision? Y'all seen it where somebody's standing on the dock and they got their foot on the dock and they got their foot in the boat and then the boat starts drifting away and then they start stretching. They trying to make a decision. Should I stay on the dock or should I get in this boat? Because I'm going to tell you, people have a hard time making a decision. Guess what they do? They end up in the lake. Instead of being on the dock and instead of being in the boat. So they sit there and they keep stretching their legs. It's only so far they can go. And now all of a sudden they're in the water, which is what they was trying to prevent. Am I right? They was trying to prevent themselves from going in the water, but yet you end up in the water. Many times we deal with decisions like that because we can't make them. My thing would have been, first of all, I'm not getting in that boat. It's just going to have to drift out there. I'm staying on this dock where I know that's a sure foundation. You see what I'm saying? But we are not like that. We have to allow something bad to happen to us and say, then when we land up in the lake, we say, I probably should have stayed in on the dock. Jesus said that we can't serve two masters. At any given moment, you have to choose from whom you will follow. And if you choose the God of open options, you cannot at that moment choose the God, the true and living God. We need to understand that. People do not want to serve Jesus because it's a narrow way. And that's not something that people want to do in this day and age. It's serve someone that there's only one option. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. That is what the Bible says. That is not what I said. It says there is one way. It's not an S behind way. Amen? If you read that, you will see that there is not a nest. It says one way. I heard a preacher say ways, and the guy corrected me, said way. He said, ways. The guy said, way. My point in saying that to you is because some of these leading ministers, pastors, are letting you know that there's many ways. And then they try to be kind of smart aleck with their comments. You know, my point is there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. So, decision time. We all are going to face a decision-making time, a moment in our life. God brought this drought on. He's the reason why they're in this situation at the end, because he brought this on. He brought this on to teach them a lesson. The lesson was to know that I am God. I'm the one that can get you out of this. No other God can get you out of this. But we can't, here's the thing I want you all to understand. We can't look at every difficulty that we face in life as a punishment from God. That's the first thing we want to go to, is that God is punishing me from something. As soon as something bad happens to someone in their life, the first thing we want to throw at them, you did something. You said something. God is punishing you for stuff that you did. No, not necessarily. So let's not be quick to throw that out there at someone that they are dealing with a punishment. You follow what I'm saying? God could be using this as a teaching moment. He is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. It's going to teach you things that you need to know and understand. sometimes we get to the place where we depend on ourselves instead of God. God is probably saying, you're depending on yourself too much. So I'm going to make you start depending on me. Here's what's going to happen to you. This situation is going to come into your life, and God is basically saying, now, when you get this situation in your life, I need you to depend on me. Not on someone else. Amen? Now, watch this. That does not mean that God cannot use someone else, because he does use people. Understand what I'm saying. Many times we think that God is punishing us, but God is not punishing us. God is trying to teach us something that we need to understand and that we need to know. So here we have, choose you this day whom you will serve. Will it be God, the true and living God, or will it continue to be the God of options? The God that has done nothing for you. Will you continue to choose that God? Every decision we make in life is based upon us coming to God and understanding that he is the only one that can get us out of our situation. Choosing life means choosing to worship and obey God. We need to pray about our situation. Jesus praying all night before a big decision in the Gospel of Luke. He was praying before a decision was made. Sometimes we just make a decision based on a feeling. We need to understand that when we have God in our life, God is going to put things in our lives to see where we will make a decision. He's basically saying to us that here you have a choice is standing before you. Which choice are you going to make? When we are wavering between two opinions, we are lukewarm. Understand what I'm saying. There is nothing Jesus dislikes more than a lukewarm Christian. Jesus rather you be hot or cold. He does not want you to be lukewarm. He wants you to make a decision. And here's the thing, he's not okay if you choose the devil, but that's your decision. Amen? But if you, here's the thing, I say this in the most respectful and nice way. If you're going to serve the devil, then serve him. Go all in. Go in style. You know what I'm saying? Bust hell wide open. But don't act like you're not serving the devil. You understand what I'm saying? And don't act like you're not serving him and act like you're serving God. If you have not gave your life to Christ and if you are not fellowshipping with God, then you're serving the devil. Listen to what I'm telling you. You have to choose. How many times have I told you all this in my message that I was printing a document out from my computer and I printed it, went to the machine with my document. Then I'm like, oh. So I went back, hit print again, went back there. Then now I got an attitude. Y'all know why I got an attitude? Because I'm thinking that somebody picked up my papers while they was printing out too, right? So that's the first thing we do. We want to blame somebody else. So I started blaming folks. I started looking around, acting like I'm speaking to folks, but I ain't really speaking to them. But I'm just trying to see if you got my papers on the desk. I'm just being honest with you. So I'm looking to see who got my papers, and nobody's got my papers. So I'm sitting there going like, man. I'm like, I know that I can hear the printer. Printer's working. Then I said, let me see. Then I said, you got my papers? It's like, I ain't got your papers. I said, let me see. I'm going through the stack, looking at all kind of stuff. It's like, I ain't got your papers. I was like, well, I'm just checking. You know, get no attitude with me, even though I got an attitude with her. So y'all know what my problem was? I went back to the computer, and I looked at the printer, and I said, oh, shoot. I said, I ain't picked the right printer. And then you have innocent people who I done already gotten rattled and messed up. They gonna come to me and say, Ronnie, did you find your papers? They trying to make sure that I got what I need. Here it is. I don't want to talk about it now. But what I'm trying to get you to understand that even though I wanted to print here and I clicked print, I didn't choose that printer. But my mind and my heart was set on this printer. But yet I didn't make a decision. You see what I'm saying? I defaulted to this printer. So what I did was I went and checked the other printer that's around the way, and guess what? My documents was a bunch of them too. It was on the other side of the office. And nobody picked it up. It just sitting there. And I'm like, man, I wasted a lot of paper, but company good for it. All my documents was someplace else. So what am I saying? You got to choose God. If you don't, you default to hell. That's your decision. When you don't make one, when you don't choose properly. So here's what I'm saying to you all this morning. We are filled with a lot of choices. And God has given us a choice. But we have to choose this day whom we will serve. Either it will be God or it will be the devil. That's a choice. Only you can make that decision. I had to make a choice a long time ago, and I'm thankful that I made that choice. My wife and I, we teach our children about Jesus, about God. Because guess what? That school, they'll serve anything that's coming their way. And they contradict themselves. Understand what I'm saying? They contradict themselves in every one minute they'll do something, the next minute they won't do something. But it doesn't line up. We try to give them a sure foundation. And we let them know that this, what we're teaching you, I promise you, you can take this to the bank and it'll cash. Or rather, you can take this to heaven and it'll cash for you. Because we give them the right MasterCard. Amen? We give them the right MasterCard. And so what I'm saying to you is that we teach them a good foundation. We're teaching them Christ. We're telling them you're going to hear a lot of things out there in this world. You're going to hear many things. But the one thing that you can rest assured for, that if you come to your parents, that we will tell you the right thing.